Bonjour à tous.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the AXA Group 2021 earnings press conference. This year, we regret that we cannot be with you directly. Hopefully, we'll be together next year. These earnings will be presented by Thomas Buberl, CEO for the group, Frédéric de Courtois, Deputy CEO, Patrick Cohen, CEO for AXA France, and Alban de Mailly Nesle, CFO. As usual, this presentation will be followed by a Q&A session in which will be involved some members of the management committee. I thank you, and I wish you a good presentation. I now turn it over to Thomas Buberl.
Bonjour à toutes et à tous.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this AXA Group 2021 earnings press conference. We are delighted to be with you today. And for AXA, 2021 has been a decisive and pivotal year. A decisive year? Why was that the case? The numbers prove that we have come out stronger of the COVID crisis. A pivotal year, as it marks the end of the group's deep transformation phase of the group and the start of a new development phase. Such transformation had three major goals. First of all, simplify the group by refocusing it on its strategic markets. And today, if you want to have impact, you cannot be everywhere. You must pick carefully the countries where you operate. The second goal was to transform the group's risk profile to make it less sensitive to the financial markets. This is the reason why we purchased AXA XL, sold our life and asset management operations in the U.S., and transformed our life business around the globe. Lastly, our third goal was to improve customer experience, which is a major topic for AXA, as it is for the whole insurance industry. So after such transformation, what is AXA looking like? Well, AXA is a group refocused on its business lines and the key markets. We are the second European insurer. We are the first global commercial insurer with a good footprint in the U.S., and we are also a health international leader with a good position in Asia. AXA is also a group which is refocused on so-called technical risks. P&C, health, and protection account for 80% of the group's earnings. In 2008, it represented only 20%. Of course, life insurance remains a very significant business for us and our customers. However, we have shrunk its share in our business mix, and above all, we have sped up the transition towards products that are less capital-consuming. Lastly, AXA is a group which has improved its customer relationship. Last year, the Net Promoter Score, which gauges customer satisfaction, was up by 3 points at 97%, 97. Just 2 years ago, it was hovering at 75%. It's a stellar rise made possible through the acceleration of digitalization and simplification of our processes in order to improve customer experience, including when it comes to how we handle claims. And we shall continue our efforts in order to further improve such experience across all our business lines. As you can see, the transformation of AXA has been deep. Above all, it has been a success, as indicated by our 2021 earnings. Last year, AXA had an excellent performance. AXA is a group which is growing. Revenues is climbing by 6% at 100 billion euros. Such growth was driven by all our business lines, property and casualty, life insurance, health, and asset management. AXA is also a profitable group. Underlying earnings stood at 6.8 billion euros, up by 9% on a normalized base. Across all our markets, we saw such performance, and the success of AXA XL has been the key factor. I will come back to it. Lastly, AXA is a very solid group with a solvency ratio 2 up by 17 points, standing at 217%. Now, given this very good performance, the Board of Directors proposes to the shareholders a dividend of 1 euro 54 euros per share, up by 8% over last year. In addition, we feel we are positioned to deliver an average profit per share of our earnings in the upper range of our target range between 2020 and 2023. We feel also that we are well positioned to top our cash flows target between 2021 and 2023. As you can see, we are quite confident about achieving the goals of our strategic plan called Driving Progress 2023. I will now show you the two major drivers behind our performance, our business lines, and our markets. As I've just told you, our business activity has been very brisk last year. Our growing revenues were driven across all our business lines, property and casualty up by 3%, standing at 49.3 billion euros. Life, savings and pension are rising by 9% at 33.3 billion euros. Health rising 5% at 15.2 billion euros. And asset management climbed 20% at 1.5 billion euros. Such figures do show the high potential of these business lines. They are aligned with the significant needs of our customers. For AXA, it's a source of strong development going forward. For because this has been a profitable growth. This slide does show the balance and the power of the AXA model. As I explained just a while ago, as is the case each year, France confirms its role as a pillar of the group with underlying earnings at 1.8 billion euros, up by 8%. The remainder of Europe generates 2.5 billion euros, or nearly 40% of the group's performance overall. Likewise, we hold a solid position in Asia, where we generate 1.2 billion in earnings. Lastly, we have two major cross-business lines which ensure us a presence on all our large global markets. They have registered an excellent performance, which makes us very proud. This is the result of transformations. This is the result of actions of transformations made by our management and our subsidiary teams. Of course, it's AXA Investment Managers with earnings sharply higher by 25% at 0.3 billion euros. Above all, there's AXA XL, which has hit its goal, namely 1.2 billion euros in earnings. It's as much as Asia. It's one of the noteworthy facts of our earnings this year. The work operated by our subsidiary specialized in large risk has really borne fruit. AXA XL, henceforth, is extremely well positioned to generate a sustainable and profitable growth. This is very good news for the group, and for all our customers. This proves the relevance of this major strategic move. As you can see, AXA has come up with excellent results and displays very strong solidity. This financial performance is absolutely key. It is thanks to it that AXA can have an economic power and impact which is also social and societal.
The key challenge for societies is, of course, climate change. As an insurance company, AXA is a privileged observer of the impacts of climate change. As an investor, AXA is a business partner that supports the economies and businesses the world over in their energy transition. In 2021, we have pursued our engagement and commitments along these two lines. We have been very much involved in the launch of the Net Zero Insurance Alliance. This is an approach of importance which aims at better integrating climate challengers in the criteria to select risks. We also have strengthened our policy on extractive fossil energies. We've clearly announced our goal to gradually stop extractive businesses and market participants which do not seem to us aligned with the requirement of energy transition. To the contrary, we'll keep investing and ensuring those market participants whose transition trajectories are credible. They will have a key role to play in accelerating the energy transition. Finally, we have committed €1.5 billion to support the sustainable management of forests. The fight against climate change will be a long and difficult one. We have set for ourselves a clear road ahead with tangible results which are included in our benchmark for progress and which were announced last year during our annual general meeting of shareholders. I will now recall some of these aspects. Number one, to reduce the carbon footprint of the assets in the AXA general account by some 20% by 2025. Number two, to increase green investments by AXA to reach €26 billion by 2023. We already have reached €23 billion. Number three, making our 120,000 employees committed and engaged participants in climate transformation. This is why we want to train them in climate stakes and challenges. And we want to have 80,000 of them trained by the month of September. Number four, finally, we want to be carbon neutral with our own operations by 2025. We have very ambitious goals. We cannot slow down our efforts. We want to continue to contribute to the economic and social growth in the countries where we operate. This is a very interesting slide. It shows the value that AXA has been generating for all of its stakeholders. On the one hand, for its customers and clients, these are the two numbers which clearly illustrate our action and our mission. We've been reimbursing every year €50 billion in claims. After a claim, this is the assurance for our clients to be able to bounce back. We've been paying out some €6.5 billion to compensate the savings of our customers. On the other hand, AXA has been an active employer everywhere in the world. We recruit some 12,000 people every year, and this number does not factor in all the systems that we have in place to enable youth to start their careers. We've also been paying out some €6 billion in wages and salaries every year. Also, we've been supporting a well-balanced economic development everywhere. We've been investing every year some 40 billion euros in the economies, especially in those very tangible projects for everyone, in transportation, in infrastructure, among others. We've also been paying out more than 10 billion euros in taxes, duties and levies, including 40% in France. Finally, we compensate those who invest into AXA and contribute to its robustness. We've been paying out last year some 3.4 billion euros in dividend payout to close to 300,000 shareholders. Among them, there are many, many employees. For the last 30 years, we've been leading a very active policy to help our employees to become shareholders. They today hold some 6% of voting rights. They have been associated and involved in the strategic choices and decisions made by the group and in its performance. Attracting talent has always been a key stake and challenge for us. We believe that this topic will gain in importance in the next few years. This is why we have put in place a corporate culture that supports employee engagement. As you can see here, up on this slide, you have some of our major initiatives taken. Some have been taken for quite a while, like our employee shareholding policy, but you also have the policy in favor of diversity inclusion. Other policies and initiatives have been more recently adapted to adopt our group to the new needs and requirements of our employees. And this is the case for home working and for our policy to protect health, including mental health. All these initiatives and measures mean that we drive very strong engagement in our employees and a very high level of satisfaction on their part. Have the various satisfaction surveys have demonstrated, all global surveys which were conducted last year. All of these factors that I've just presented to you make us very confident for the future. You know this slide very well now. It illustrates and recaps our strategic priorities and the key financial indicators in the course of our Driving Progress 2023 plan. I will recall the five strategic thrusts. Number one, developing health and protection. Simplifying customer experience and keep improving our efficiencies. Strengthening the underwriting performance. Continue driving our leadership in the field of climate change and increasing cash flow generation across the group. With respect to our key financial indicators, we consider that we are well positioned to deliver average growth in earnings per share in the high end of our target bracket of 3-7% between 2020 and 2023. Also, we are well positioned to exceed our cash flow generation goal by 2021 and 2023. Our will is to keep investing into the growth and development of the business. Share buyback programs are also tools that we have available to us to possibly generate added value. As you can see, AXA is doing very well. The group has successfully transformed itself. Performance has been excellent. We have clear, high-quality governance. Our strategic vision is perfectly adapted to the environment. All these commitments, all these accomplishments, we owe to the loyalty of our clients and especially to the engagement and commitment and dedication of our employees, agents, and partners. Thanks to them all, we are extremely well positioned to reach our targets and goals of our Driving Progress plan and to meet the key challenges of our societies. I would like now to thank them all. I now give the floor to Frédéric de Courtois.
Bonjour à tous.
Hello everyone. We are registering very good earnings throughout our business lines. I'd like to go over these four lines of businesses. P&C first. As you can see here, a solid growth of 3% last year. If we now look first at commercial lines, well, it registered a very sharp rise of 5% with, on average, positive price rises at 7%, excellent performance, especially at AXA France, with 11% growth and AXA XL as well. To say a few words now about AXA XL, you can see on this slide a sharp price rise as obtained last year, so 15% in the insurance business and 9% up in the reinsurance business. And if we now look at renewals on the 1st of January this year, these renewals also turned out to be very satisfactory, with an increase of prices in insurance of 11% and an increase of prices in reinsurance for 8%. So AXA XL again is well positioned this year following this partly renewal of its portfolio. Looking still at this line of business of P&C for personal lines, you can see personal lines is growing by 1%, which can accounted for by prices overall steady in our various subsegments, in the motor lines and in the other lines which are non-motor. Looking now at the profitability in the P&C, you can see the property and casualty profitability is sharply higher because there are non-recurring aspects of the COVID claims. But if we exclude the COVID-related claims, P&C grew by 29% last year at 4.1 billion euros, as you can see here on the slide. This can be accounted for mainly through a very good technical performance in terms of underwriting, and within that underwriting performance, the noteworthy fact is a strong AXA XL rise, which made a great job in the past few years and which has largely resubscribed and written its portfolio, and it's very well positioned in order to deliver this year and the next year. So AXA XL, therefore, and it's a major message, is where it should be now and deliver this year earnings which truly are aligned with our expectations. You can see that the CapEx is stable, which is a good performance given that rates are lower, and all of this translates into the combined ratio, which is seen sharply higher, again sharp increase of the technical results with a 94.6% combined ratio. In that combined ratio, there are a number of elements which are exceptionals. I will mention four of them. The first one is obviously the Nat Cats this year. As you know, there was a big cat load. It was the fourth most costly year since 1970, so it had a negative impact on our combined ratio. The second exceptional one was the better frequencies in the motor insurance related to the special situation of the COVID. And the third one is the compensation, the payment of restaurant owners. We struck an agreement, as you know, with the majority of the restaurant owners in France, and this has a cost for us and has an impact on the combined ratio. And lastly, the fourth exceptional element of the which earnings are better than what we had before. It just happens that these four exceptional elements are offset, and we may consider that the 94.6% is a good benchmark, a point of reference. It reflects our very good technical performance, and it positions us in good position to hit our goal of 93% in 2023, and we confirm that target again. Looking now at the life insurance business, as you can see, it posts a 9% strong growth, which is what is important for us is the quality of the mix. You see that growth especially is strong in protection, in unit-linked accounts, and for with low consumption of capital for the. And this performance, and you can see it on the right-hand side, is particularly excellent in France and in Asia. Why is that the case in France? Well, the life insurers on an individual basis performed very well last year. It's true for unit-linked products. It's also the case for the so-called PERs, the pension-related products, or also for the capital-low consumer products, Eurocroissance, as it is called. If you looked at the mix in France, if you add up the unit-linked accounts and the Eurocroissance, as it is called, it represents 56% of our business, which is a ratio at 15 points higher than the market. So this exceptional performance, how you, do you analyze it in France? Well, through the very good performance of our agents and employee networks. Very good performance as well, as I said, in Asia, especially in Japan and in Hong Kong, with products related to protection and unit-linked accounts and general account with low capital consumption. You see the net flows confirm that trend and this alignment with our strategies with net negative flows on traditional savings and positive ones and significant on all our other business lines. Moving on now to new business. Well, the message here is similar. New business are sharply higher, which translates the brisk activity of our network with a 13% growth last year, the speeding up in the second half of the year. The value of new business, which reflects the value that is created in a way, is also sharply higher at 8%, and this reflects the quality of the mix, which I mentioned before. You can see here that is a very low decline of VNB, which is a margin new business, which is the result of a change of the mix with less individual insurance in the health business, but it's not very meaningful.
En termes de résultats, donc vous voyez que le résultat opérationnel de l'assurance vie.
You can see that the underlying earnings for life insurance has grown solidly by 3%. If I'm to exclude those companies which have come out of the consolidation scope, including Central Europe, Greece, if I to exclude this reinsurance transaction in Hong Kong, underlying earnings would have grown by 5%. So how can it be analyzed? Number one, significant growth of technical margin. This is the first notable point. Second notable point, and you can look at the right-hand side of this slide, is that investment margin has proved extremely resilient. So here again, this has been a strong performance in a low interest rate environment. And you can note that this investment margin at 66 basis points is in excess of the guidance we gave with respect to the investment margin. We gave 55 to 65 basis point bracket in our guidance. So we are very happy with this performance. Last factor to explain this performance, strong growth of revenues on unit-linked products, from unit-linked products, which translate very strong sales and marketing momentum, new business coming in, and also an increase in financial markets, which increased its unit-linked product stock. Now, moving on to our third business line, which is health insurance, which is of strategic importance, as Thomas said. So we are continuing with our profitable growth trend in this line of business. Very satisfactory 5% per annum growth, especially important in group insurance by 9% this year, with a notable performance in AXA France. Now, combined ratio has been slightly deteriorating, but it's not significant, by 0.4 percentage points, which can be explained by two factors. Number one, the fact that we had lesser frequency in health insurance last year, due to the lockdown measures and also to the fact that this year Mexico, which is an important health insurance market, suffered from the COVID pandemic. So these two adjustments lead the combined ratio to slightly increase, remaining on an excellent level. So we are highly satisfied with this business, all in all, accounting for some 10% of the underlying earnings for the AXA Group. So I would like to zoom in now this year on the asset management business, which is our fourth line of business. As you can see here, commercial performance was extremely good this year, with assets under management up by 5%. So, of course, the increase of AUMs can be explained by a twofold movement, so positive net inflows on the one hand, and also the increase of financial markets. So net inflows, all in all, increased by 12%. 12 billion euros, apologies, says the speaker. And this has been the case in the alternatives. What we call alternatives are those unlisted assets and on joint ventures in Asia. Now, the core segment seems declining, but this is due to a decline in general account. We have negative flows. We have outflows from the general account, which illustrates a non-recurring transaction on the reinsurance transaction in Hong Kong, but the core business with third-party business increased strongly. So on the bottom right-hand side, third-party business increased strongly, both in alternative assets and in our core business segment. And also, and this will be seen later on, this has translated into increased margin. So if I'm to look at the underlying earnings and performance, increase in financial market, higher net inflows, and a better mix, all this translates into better revenues, an absolute 20% increase, and an increase in margin levels, which basically translates what I said, i.e. better mix, a very strong increase in revenues. Now, the consequence of this is that the cost-income ratio has increased strongly. This is our cost on income, almost up four percentage points, due to the increase in revenues, of course, and due to a stronger discipline in controlling costs last year. As a consequence, underlying earnings up by 25%, which is the result of all I have just presented to you, especially the very high quality of our alternatives franchise. Now, a few last words on asset management and our alternatives franchise. I would like to emphasize the fact that we are the European leader in alternative asset management, in unlisted asset management, the largest franchise in Europe in this segment. This is a franchise which has been delivering proven performance, not just in the last year. AUMs increased by 12% per annum over the last 5 years. Net inflows altogether was 54 billion euros in the last 5 years. And all this translates into higher revenues, contributing to AXA IM's bottom line and underlying earnings. So it is a business of extremely strategic importance, delivering very fine performance, and we want to continue growing this business, as has been the case in the last few years. Now, by way of a conclusion, to repeat what I said before, on the one hand, you saw that performance was very good across all four business lines. Our four engines are going extremely strongly, which is a source of satisfaction for us. And my second important message is that AXA XL has been delivering, following extremely great and hard work in the last few years. AXA XL has been restructured and is a business unit which will be releasing its full potential and which still has a great potential. Thank you. And I give over to Patrick Cohen with AXA France.
Hello, everyone. I'm delighted to be with you today. This is my first time, and it's my privilege to do it in a context of very good results for AXA France. There are three matters that I would like to cover with you today. The first one is briefly remind you what is the strength of AXA France. After that, I'd like to comment the highlights of the 2021 performance. Lastly, I will want to talk about our priorities, continue our profitable growth trajectory, and reinforce the citizen commitment, which is in AXA France's genes. AXA has a position which is unique in the French market. Today, we serve 10 million customers, one out of four professionals, and in P&C, we manage more than 5,000 claims per day. We are leaders in nearly all the business lines. We are also leaders on the direct insurance in France, and we're the only ones who are so diversified between P&C, protection health, and savings and pension. So these are very resilient. This position in the market, we owe it to the extension of the technical expertise of our teams, to their ability to constantly innovate. We owe it as well to the power of our distribution networks, to the quality of the advice they give to their customers, and the unique meshing on the territory. Each French person is less than 5 kilometers from an AXA advisor, and this is the source of our very good performance in 2021. Revenues reach a record level at 28 billion. It is up by 13%, 1-3. It's not only related to a rebound effect. Growth is 8% compared to 2019. We are conquering in all the lines of business and in all our networks. In P&C, we grew by 7%, 11% on commercial lines thanks to product innovation and the rollout of our new underwriting digital platform. And in personal P&C, we have more than 100 customers thanks to the overall of our offer. We grew by 10% in health. This is the result of our development in collectives. We make the difference thanks to a wide range of services, especially our Angel platform, which we launched last year. But it's also the result of our development in individual health. Ever since that it is possible to cancel anytime, we gain even more customers thanks to the quality of our offer and to the mobilization of our networks. Lastly, in the life business, revenues increased by 17%, mainly thanks to the very good growth in the pension retirement market. We are pioneers in the PR, in the pension savings scheme. We have a market share of 20%. We had a big rebound of individual savings in unit-linked accounts. The welcome was very good. For example, we gave access to the general public to the investment capital in small companies that are French. And lastly, 2021 is the year when euro croissance has soared, and we have more than doubled what we did there. In the highlights for 2021, there's one point which is dear to my heart. It's a rise in customer satisfaction across all our businesses. And this translates in a lot of loyalty, more loyalty from our customers. With regard to underlying earnings, it is up by 8% at 1.8 billion, driven by the strong commercial momentum I just mentioned and the quality of business with P&C ratio, 89.7% in diversification rate in savings, 15 points above the market at 56%. And lastly, in our great underlying earnings, this impact of the 300 million mobilized for the friendly, amicable agreement with restaurant owners. 80% of them initiated that approach, and now 64% accepted our proposal. in net positive contribution with restaurant owners and at level superior to the situation before the crisis. In my introduction, I said we are a company which is highly committed in cities, in society, and we illustrated ourselves last year in terms of jobs with 6,000 new jobs, out of which 3,000 new people and 3,200 long-term contracts. We invested about 1 billion in companies in the terms of protection of our investment. Green investments are at 9 billion. So much for 2021. I would like to congratulate again and very warmly all the teams of AXA France. We will not rest on our laurels. We believe in the potential of AXA France. We believe in our ability to strengthen again our leadership position. And to this effect, we have strongly sped up. We will speed up customer experience, technology and agility, and societal commitment. On customer experience, the crisis helped us gain years in terms of digital adoption, but also has highlighted the significance of being close to our customers in a human way, which is embodied by our networks of tied agents, of the other agents, and our employee-related networks. This is why, on the one hand, we will invest a lot in the digitalization of customer expertise for a simpler, more rapid experience with a quality of service that leads by example by giving customers the freedom to choose the channel that is best for them, physical or digital, at every stage of the life of the contracts, but also at the same time, we want to speed up the transformation of our distribution networks. We want networks that are growing, and they will be, they were in 2021. We want them to be equipped with new technological tools and even more expert-wise to provide high-value advice to our clients. We want to continue also to innovate, to meet increased protection needs and position ourselves in future markets. We innovate on health-related services in companies. In terms of offer, we want to highlight green insurance and inclusive insurance. On the unit-linked development that is not listed, and on Eurocroissance, which for us is the new base of life insurance. The second priority on which we want to speed up things is technology and agility. Technology is not an aim in itself, it's a condition in order to keep alive our leadership, and we want to put it at the service of our customers, our networks, and our staff. We are increasing our technological capex because progress possibilities are huge. Automating things, artificial intelligence, we want to use it at scale to reduce the procedure time in terms of procedure and underwriting and keep our technical leadership alive. Also, we want internally gain in swiftness and better leverage our human assets. Concretely, we want to simplify our organization, our governance, to stimulate innovation and the entrepreneurship, which are AXA's DNA. Lastly, third priority, societal commitment. It's a reality and has always been there. It's not a slogan or a catchword. It's a commitment which is real that AXA France's men and women carry forward. We want to strengthen our action there on the protection of the environment, where we want to remain pioneers and blaze the trail. We want to develop green business as from next year. 90% from next year of new business will meet ESG criteria. We want to go over the 10 billion of green investment. Likewise, we want to reinforce our solidarity action in territories. We want to even put more resources in partnerships with local associations in every territory. And also, we want to do our best to remain the benchmark in terms of protection. We want to concentrate on health, on cyber risk, and the environment. In this transformation, the commitment and the well-being of our employees will be an absolute priority. The crisis reminded us that companies, above all, are great human adventures. And right now, we are experiencing the fact of moving from constraint, working from afar, to really doing it because we need to do it. We have a new collective project based on flexibility, management, empathy, the quality of life at work, and leveraging the diversity in every form it can have. In conclusion, I'd like to say that our positioning is unique on our market. We've always been where we should be with performance. We don't intend to rest on these laurels and to gain in the future. We want to combine digital and closeness, innovation of products and services, human factors and technology, performance, and societal commitment. It's on these key commitments the men and women of AXA France are engaged in order to speed up our transformation. I thank you very much, and I turn it over to Alban de Mayinel.
Bonjour à toutes et à tous.
Hello, everyone. I will now review our performance in underlying earnings, which reflects the quality of our performance. Our underlying earnings increased by 61% versus fiscal 2021. Remember that 2021, as Frédéric mentioned, was impacted by COVID and the NatCat. If we were to adjust the 2020 numbers for these two impacts, our underlying earnings would have grown 9% versus that year. So very fine performance. As Frédéric said, it has been driven, among others, by improved underwriting in P&C business, especially in XL. We've also posted regular growth in our underlying earnings in health insurance and life insurance. And finally, asset management business fared very well thanks to a buoyant financial environment and thanks to the net inflows from our clients. The holding operations are slightly down, which is the result of lower dividend remittance from non-controlled companies. So underlying earnings up 9%. So net income now, which is up by 135% to 7.3 billion euros. This increase obviously is driven by the increased underlying earnings, as well as by the favorable financial environment in fiscal 2021, which had us generate 400 million euros in realized capital gains, which also had a positive impact of some assets recognized through the P&L by some 1.1 billion euros. There's been a limited impact on the adjustments for intangibles and goodwill, and non-recurrent costs are related to transactions being carried out in Belgium and Hong Kong and to the disposals of some business operations. Now, moving on to shareholders' equity. The key takeaway message here is that the profitability, the return on shareholders' equity, has been at 14.7%, excellent level in fiscal 2021, i.e. in the high end of the bracket, which has been our target, in between 13 to 15%, which is another way to illustrate the outstanding operational performance last year. With respect to our shareholders' equity, it's been stable, slightly down, which is due to the mark-to-market value of our assets, mainly bond assets, and due to increased interest rates, they lost some value in 2021. But this loss was almost totally offset by the net income recorded in 2021. We obviously paid out dividend of 3.4 billion euros. You can see here up on the screen that we proceeded with share buyback on the order of 900 million euros, a share buyback program in total, which was 1.7 billion euros. In December of 2021, we generated 900 million out of the 1.7 billion euros, the balance being in January and February. The last impact is with respect to pension benefits, thanks to higher rates, has delivered a positive impact on our shareholders' equity. Now, moving on to the Solvency II ratio, excellent level of 217%, strongly up on prior year, which stood at 200%. Remember that our target ratio is 190%, so we are in excess of this target ratio, and very much so. You can see here on the slide the sensitivity of this Solvency II ratio to some market shocks. And you can see that despite these market shocks, our ratio would remain at an excellent level, which translates the very strong capitalization and robustness of our balance sheet. Moving on to our cash position at the holding company level at 4.5 billion euros, again above the bracket we guided, which was in between 1 to 3 billion euros. This very high cash position level was the result of strong cash remittance from our entities and subsidiaries by some 4.4 billion euros, as well as the proceeds from disposals for another 1.4 billion euros and an issuance of financial debt for 0.9 billion euros. So we have this cash position level, knowing that we paid our dividend on the order of 3.4 billion euros and share buyback in the order of 900 million euros. All this brings us a 4.5 billion cash position, which is an excellent level for fiscal 2021. Now, with respect to our financial debt, it comes out at 18.1 billion euros, up 1.5 billion euros over fiscal 2020. This 1.5 billion euro increase is a forex effect, and we keep leverage at 26.4%. The bracket is in between 25 to 28%. So we have very well-controlled leverage, which explained our strong, robust balance sheet. And we paid back a Tier 1 debt on the order of $850 million, and we issued a Tier 2 debt of 1.25 billion euros, which, again, falls within our program for fiscal 2022. Finally, our CapEx investments. We invested last year, so new investments, on an average rate of 1.4% in fixed income products. This 1.4% is a mix between 1% for the core debt, that is liquid debts, sovereign bonds, corporate bonds, among others, and 2.4% of private debt or alternative debt, as Frédéric Courtois showed when he reviewed the alternatives business. So this enables us to have a 1.4% reinvestment yield on average, which did not deteriorate the quality of investment. We maintained our average rating of double A and a single A for corporate bonds and for private debt in which we've been investing. So we are not sacrificing the quality of our investments due to this. So this has led, with respect to the yield of our assets, all in all, in P&C, yield was extremely stable to 2.6%. If we want to be very specific, it went down by 2 basis points thanks to very disciplined management of our investments. Also, in life, in the life business, as Frédéric said, our financial margin remained almost stable to 66 basis points, which is above the target we guided for our plan 2021-2023. So all in all, you can see that we are posting very fine operating performance, very strong increase in our performance, both net income and underlying earnings. We also have a very, very robust balance sheet, whether you speak about Solvency II or cash position, and profitability and return on our shareholders' equity to 14.7%, which is excellent. I will give over to Thomas Buberl for his conclusion.
In conclusion, We can say that AXA has achieved an excellent performance across the group with a sharp growth of the activity of products and a solid operating performance across all our markets. A success of AXA XL's transformation, fully operational. Today we are positioned to deliver an earnings per shares at the upper range and exceed our accrued cash goal by 2023. And to end, we have great trust in hitting our goals of our Driving Progress 2023 plan and our ambitions beyond. We are now available to answer all your questions.